You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a historian tells the story of John Bascom, who aimed to make higher education serve the public good in Wisconsin. First, it's been a week since Election Day, and the divisions that came to the surface during the election season haven't faded over the course of the week. And that's been an issue even for people too young to vote. Some schools around the state have had to deal with arguments among students, an uptick in bullying in some places, and in some cases, efforts to calm fears among students. Erin Richards joins us now. She's the education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Erin, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
So what kind of things are we hearing about how students and schools are handling the election? What's the range, first of all, of what you've been hearing?
Well, I think just like among adults in the general public, you're seeing a range of emotional reactions. You've certainly got quite a few students that are probably pleased with the result. But I have to say, you know, the unusual development in this presidential election was just how much sort of emotional distress there was on the other end. So unlike in other presidential elections, which, you know, developments happen, schools talk about them, students have these discussions in class, and then it's over and everyone moves on. And this one was a little bit different. There were a lot of students who were expressing fears of, deportation or concerns about, if their families would be treated differently under this presidency. And, of course, children have those discussions at home and in their family lives all the time. But schools are a place where a lot of these kids are gathering, and teachers are kind of tasked with helping them make sense of current events and, to keep civil discourse. And this was a really good way to, have an opportunity to do that. But because emotions ran high with the selection of Donald Trump as president, there were some students that weren't the most comfortable or weren't the most composed in school the next day. And that was just kind of a more unusual development than what we've seen in schools maybe after other presidential elections.
And you mentioned trying to promote civil discourse in classrooms. I mean, based on the election campaign itself, it was very notably, it seems, uncivil. There was some language that I think could probably get a kid sent to the principal's office, very high-profile stuff. Have teachers said this, and school district administrators said this is a particularly challenging one to keep civil?
Yeah, I mean, you have heard those responses. Of course, we have to qualify the fact that, you know, there's lots of places where, you know, life has gone on absolutely normal. But the responses that you tend to hear are the abnormal responses. So where teachers are saying, whoa, I've never had so many kids crying in my classroom before. I've never had a kid so express views that so rattled another student that about politics that I had to, you know, separate them or diffuse the situation. So, I talked to one teacher in Verona, and he had a student in his class who was a Trump supporter one of the other students of the class who was not a Trump supporter was trying to figure out why this young man voted for that candidate. And, the conversation drifted into abortion rights, and so there was some shouting match in the class, and the teacher said, you know, I've never seen anything quite this tense before in my 15 years of teaching. That was a social studies teacher. So it's things like that that teachers are having to kind of play the role of, moderator and trying to allow young people to develop opinions and express them in ways that, are healthy and not necessarily in a way that's, pitting students against each other or encouraging bullying or harassment.
Talking to Erin Richards, education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about how the post-election aftermath is playing out in classrooms around Wisconsin. Erin, there have been reports of an uptick in bullying around the country, anecdotal anyway, in some schools, specifically of minority students. Have we seen any cases of that here post-election?
Yeah, we heard a little bit about this from Marquette University High School, which sent out a statement to parents after the election. There was according to what was released, there was a case of some students bullying Latino students. Some of the civil rights groups in Milwaukee, at least one of them, had said that there's been an uptick in people calling their group saying, we're feeling bullying or harassed. This was a Latino group. specifically. So, yes, I mean, we've heard that. It certainly prompted a response from the leadership of Marquette University High School and also Divine Savior Holy Angel, who, you know, were trying to help their students understand how to express healthy feelings about this and not to harass their peers. And that was, again, something unusual that we haven't always seen in the aftermath of an election.
Are schools having to dust off policies here on these kind of issues, ethnic-related bullying, or do they have policies in place for the most part?
Almost all school districts have some kind of anti-bullying or at least anti-harassment policy. I don't know to this point if any school boards are actually reaching in to tweak their language. I think that administrators are kind of on high alert at the moment. I would say especially at schools where there is a wide range of student races and, you know, ethnic backgrounds, I think those schools are maybe ones that are tasked with a little bit more, needing to kind of check in a little bit more to make sure that everybody's on a, you know, a healthy level. I talked to one principal at a high school in Milwaukee that serves a lot of students from different backgrounds and different sexual orientations, and he expressed the fact that his students were really upset and concerned about how they would be treated in the aftermath of this election. And so in that scenario, that school is pretty supportive of those students anyway. It's kind of helping to make sense of it when those students are hanging out with other students or, you know, in schools themselves that are looking for other ways to make sure that students can have healthy group discussions. Maybe weekly meetings, that's been brought up at one school I talked to. But at this point, it's pretty early, so I don't know if we'll see any firm policies put into place. Maybe it's more like, you know, regular conversations and check-ins with students instead of something more official.
We had one teacher call in soon after the election who said on the day after the election, some of her students who identified themselves as Donald Trump supporters had been very vociferous, she thought, crossing the line into uncivil behavior. And then she said, well, she tried to keep it civil and then was accused of political bias by that. And you could see that maybe going either way, depending on the makeup of a classroom and which side was expressing themselves. Has that been a concern for teachers and principals wanting to keep it civil but not be seen as suppressing a point of view?
Absolutely. I mean, it's no secret that a lot of teachers tend to lean Democratic, teachers' unions often affiliated with Democrats. That is not to say that every teacher feels that way. And so I think some students in some scenarios just assume that their teachers are, voting Democratic. Like I said, that's not always the case, but teachers have to walk this fine line of, you know, in some cases, a lot of teachers were pretty upset at the results and may have wanted to vent. But in a professional capacity, they had to work some teachers had to work pretty hard to try to remain as neutral as possible, even if they had strong feelings themselves. And that was absolutely something a couple of teachers said to me, that it was difficult to keep their emotions neutral, but that they felt they really needed to do that to make it clear that, you know, students have an opportunity to make up their own choices. And then I talked to one teacher who was so actually adept at doing this that he said, you know, I don't think my students know who I would have voted for. He said, I always challenge them to back up their opinions and views with support. So I'm sort of always playing devil's advocate. And this was just a way for me to sort of test that even more, you know. So he kind of walked the neutral line by challenging students on both sides to come up with good support for their beliefs.
We'll leave it there. Aaron, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.
Aaron Richards is the education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She joined us to talk about how schools are working with students to understand the 2016 presidential elections.